to Hebrews chapter 5 for the text of our lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to be reading together verses 9 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For by this time, though you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the reading of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. I heard the story years ago about a lady who was teaching a Bible class in the local Church of Christ for young children. And she was teaching them about Jericho and the Israelites taking the city of Jericho. And she asked the class, "Children, who caused the walls of Jericho to fall down?" And one little boy who was known for getting into trouble said, "Teacher, I didn't do it." And she thought that was funny, so she decided she would tell one of the deacons about that after Bible class was over. And he didn't see the humor. He got real serious. She said, "Well, you know, that little boy is from a fine family, and I think they're good people, and I believe him. I don't think he did it." And she was just astonished. And so she went and she talked to one of the elders and told the elders what had happened. And he said, now let's just keep this quiet. We don't want to cause any trouble. I'm sorry that the wall fell down, but we should find out how much it cost and we'll make it good. We just don't want to have any trouble." I hope that was just a made up story and never really happened. But you know, I'm not so sure. There are a lot of people that just are dull of hearing, as the Apostle Paul says, or as the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter. I don't know for sure that it was the Apostle Paul, as the writer of the Hebrew letter says. And because they're dull of hearing, and that word dull there, by the way, is rooted in a term which means lazy. And of course, what it means is they don't hear too well, but it means more than it doesn't have to. See, I'm wearing hearing aids, but that's not the problem. The problem is some folks just can't comprehend the meat of the word, and they get to where, or they've never gotten away from being unable to comprehend the meat of the word. And though they've been Christians for years, they still cannot understand anything besides faith, repentance, confession, or baptism. They even have a hard time with that. And so what I want to talk about today, I want to encourage us to delve deeper into the Word of God. I want to encourage us to become mature as Bible students, to try to go beyond just those. You know, I believe it was Brother Lowell Blasingame that told me years ago when I went with him to Africa for the first time, to the nation of Nigeria, and he said, "The problem is that most of the preachers there, they know faith, repentance, confession, or baptism. They know there's one church. They know that you're supposed to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and they know that it's wrong to have instrumental music in worship. Beyond that, they don't know much." Well, I've encountered some Nigerian preachers that will rival any American preachers in their knowledge of the Word of God. But that's the reason they needed to be taught more at that time, and that's the reason it was worth our while to go over there to teach classes for preachers. But you know, there's Christians like that everywhere. In fact, there's some Christians who struggle with that fact of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, or the struggle with no instrumental music in worship. They've never got beyond the very bare first principles of the doctrine of Christ, and the need to learn to be more diligent in their study of the Word of God. And that's the purpose of this lesson, is to encourage us to be more diligent in our study of the Word of God and to be better students of God's Word, to become those who are able to take the solid food of the Word and to digest it and to discern, as the inspired writer says, between good and evil. Hebrews 5 verse 14. All right. So the first question we want to ask and then answer from our study of the passage and other passages that are similar to it is, well, what causes longtime disciple to be in knowledge a babe? Why is it that people can sit in the pew for years, be members of a local church of Christ for years, be a Christian for years, and yet never grow in their knowledge of the Word of God so that they're able to digest the more advanced passages, never able to understand the meat of the Word? Well, there's several things that cause this, but for the first thing I want to see is that as children of God, we need to be growing. Back to our passage, our text in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, people who have been Christians for years ought to be able to take the Word of God and to sit down with people who are not Christians and show them how to become Christians. And we ought to be able to talk to people who are babes in Christ or babes in the Word and get them to see the meaning of the more difficult passages. That should come with time. But some people never achieve that. It says you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. Of course, the first principles, that's the ABCs. Wouldn't it be awful if you sent your children to school and they went through 6 years of school and never did learn the ABCs? That would be just terrible, wouldn't it? We would want to know what in the world is going on here. We would expect them to be able to advance and be ready to go into algebra and things, but never gotten past the very, just counting to 10, just the very ABCs, the elementary things, but that's the way some Christians are. Children need to grow. Children of God need to grow. We've got some young people. We've got some babies now. That's so wonderful. There were times when we didn't have that. Now we're glad to have some youngsters and some babies in the audience. And you know those parents, when they take those children to see the doctor from time to time, one of the things they're most concerned about is how much weight have they put on? How much have they grown? And a little child that doesn't grow is a failure to thrive, baby, I think they call it now. And that's a terrible thing. That's a life-endangering situation. We know that children are expected to grow. And even so, we, as children of God, are expected to grow. And that failure to grow is a spiritually life-threatening situation. We'll talk more about that further in the lesson. But some do not grow because, and here's the primary reason in the text itself, they don't grow because they are dull of hearing. Now, I'm not talking about the affliction that I have where you have to wear hearing aids. That's not the problem. But the problem is a different problem. Look again now at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom, now he's talking about Christ, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I just wondered when I read that passage, how many of the audience, their eyes just kind of glazed over when you heard that phrase, Christ, a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And by the way, that is the theme of the Hebrew letter. And so if you don't understand what it means that Christ is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and then you don't understand what the book of Hebrews is all about. In fact, more importantly than that, you don't understand one of the great concepts of the New Testament. It is essential to our salvation that Christ is our high priest. And that should keep us from ever falling away from Christ. It also should want us to always cling to Christ in the knowledge that Christ is our high priest, and that's a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. And he was a real historical character from the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. But I get into things that I don't intend to talk about today. But you see, if you don't have a concept of those things, but you've been a Christian for years, then the apostle would say, you're dull of hearing. Now that dull, again, as I've already said, that means lazy of hearing. You just for some reason you haven't been picking up on those things and learning those things that you need to know in order to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. And so some are dull of hearing. They're just lazy in their understanding and their coming to a knowledge of the Word of God. Well, why is it that some are dull of hearing? Now this gets to the heart of the matter of why some don't grow and become more knowledgeable of the Word of God. Well, sometimes it's just indifference. Some people just don't care. They have no interest in learning more about the Word of God. Now, most everybody here would deny that, I hope, because you probably wouldn't be here if you didn't have some interest in the Word of God and some interest in serving the Lord. But maybe it's not enough interest. The interest that we need to have in learning more of the Word of God is well illustrated by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, where he says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." When old Drew is hungry, he doesn't want a bottle in 15 minutes. He doesn't want a bottle in 10 minutes. He doesn't want a bottle in 5 minutes. He wanted a bottle 5 minutes ago. And I suspect that he's going to let a couple of parents know real clearly. He wants that right now. Now that's the way of a newborn baby. That's the way a little baby is. And that's healthy. We expect a baby to be that way. To desire that milk that will cause the baby to grow. But you know, we ought to have that same desire for the knowledge of the Word of God that that newborn baby has for the milk. And by the way, even if we're mature in our knowledge of the Word of God, we need to have that desire to always learn more. I've told this story before, but it's something that really made a big impression on me, so I'm going to take the time to tell the story again. When I was a young preacher and Sandy and I and the kids lived in Baytown, Texas, and in fact, this was not long after we moved to Baytown. I think this was in 1973, if I remember correctly. And Brother Roy E. Cogdell lived not very far from Baytown, and he was a giant in his knowledge of the Word of God of a past generation. He was about 10 years older than my dad, and I had an enormous amount of respect, and I still do, for Brother Roy E. Cogdell, although he's been gone for a number of years. And so I prevailed upon the elders of the church to have him come from Conroe, Texas, where he lived, to Baytown, and to teach a class on the book of Romans, one of the greatest classes I ever sat through. And he would come every Monday night for 12 weeks, and for 90 minutes he would lecture on the book of Romans. And I was just, I'm sure I looked dumb, because probably my mouth was open half the time as I was listening to Brother Cogdell as he was expounding the book of Romans. But one night as he was expounding the book of Romans, he said, "Nobody knows how little I know about the Bible as much as I do." He was talking about himself. And I looked upon him as one of the great, and I still do, as one of the great giants of his generation in his knowledge of the Word of God. And when he made that statement, I'm sure I looked really dumb there. I'm sure my mouth dropped open. And I thought, well, if Roy Cogdell doesn't know much about the Bible, what does that say about me? I didn't want to think about that. But what that meant was, Roy Cogdell never was satisfied with the amount of knowledge that he had of the Word of God. He was always trying to learn more. And by the way, and I know that those of you who are mature in your knowledge of the Word of God have said it for years, you will amen this in your own mind, if not out loud, that there's always more to learn. Regardless of how long you've been studying, regardless of how much time you've put in on all the books of the Bible, you can go back over it and you always find something you didn't see the last time you studied. There's always more to learn. And that was the attitude that Brother Roy Cogdell had. And that's one of the things that made him a great student of the Word of God. And that's the attitude that we must have, that we're just like that newborn babe. We're hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. And Brother Harold, your prayer was answered. And so we always want to learn more about God's Word, just as Brother Roy Cogdell was never satisfied in his knowledge of the Word of God. All right. The next thing is that stands in the way of learning more about the Word of God is misplaced priorities. I can be as guilty of that as anybody else in this audience. I love to fish. And there's nothing wrong with fishing. But we've got to get things in their proper perspective. And you know what? James, I was mad too yesterday afternoon when the Razorbacks lost. Maybe not as mad as James was, but I was mad. And I thought they just blew it. You didn't want to give the Aggies any credit whatsoever. And I can get so upset, and I can follow the Razorbacks recruiting, and I can follow, and yes, I follow the Cardinals too. And we can get all wrapped up in those. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Well, within perspective. But that's the proper, that's the point right there. Keeping things in proper perspective and keeping first things first. Jesus warned about that in the parable of the sower. Look at Luke's record of it in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. We all have cares. We all have to make a living. And it's not wrong to have pleasure from time to time. But when those things become so important in our lives that they choke out the Word of God, so that we don't have the time and the effort to learn more of God's Word, then we've got our priorities all messed up. We need to get our priorities straight and get the Lord and His Word number one in our lives. So misplaced priorities is another reason that some people always remain babes. And another reason that some people always remain babes is that they just are stubborn and will not listen, will not learn the basic truths of the Word of God. And I hope there's nobody in this audience that way. They're just so stubborn that you don't want to hear what God says about something and refute. They don't have a hardened heart. And of course, that's the most difficult thing there is to overcome. In Matthew, again, I'm still in the parable of the sower, but now in Matthew's record, Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I'm sure that you've talked to people that don't have a clue. And it's a frustrating thing when I can study with people. I had a study not long after we moved to northern New York with a man who was a school teacher. He responded to a newspaper ad. And I know he was an intelligent man. He had a master's degree. And I still remember this study. And I decided with this man that I'm just going to go through the book of Acts and just look for the cases of conversion of the book of Acts. That's the approach I decided to use with him. And, you know, that's not a complicated study. That's a pretty simple study. But he kept saying over and over again, I just don't get it. I just don't understand what... I'd figured out eventually that man was so wrapped up in denominational doctrine, in denominationalism, that he was not willing to accept the basic simple truths that were taught in the book of Acts. He had that heart that Jesus is here describing, the heart by the wayside. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull. There's that dull again. Their eyes are hard of hearing. Their ears they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and should turn, and I should heal them. There are people who see, but I know that man could see what that said, and he could read it clearly. He had a master's degree. I know he could, when it came to just a matter of reading the words, understanding what the word said, understanding what they meant, I know he could do that. But he just would not come to an understanding of what he needed to do in order to be a Christian. Because he had eyes, but he wouldn't see. He had ears, but he wouldn't hear. He had a heart. He had a mind that refused to understand. And we must never, ever... That's a death knell spiritually, to have that kind of a heart. The heart that is dull of hearing. Hardness of heart. And so that is a problem that gets in the way. Well, what are the characteristics of those then who are spiritually retarded? Their growth is slow. They're not growing as they should. There's some things about them that we need to understand so that we cannot be that way. For the first thing I want us to understand is this kind of a person is unable to receive difficult truths. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have much to say. Now, the inspired writers introduced the concept, which, by the way, as I've said before, it's the theme of the Hebrew letter. Christ, a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The whole seventh chapter he devotes to showing what he means by a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then the reason I said this is the theme of the Hebrew letter, because in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, now the main point of which we're saying, we have such a high priest that sit at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. He's already introduced this theme of Christ, a high priest after order of Melchizedek, but he wants to go into it, but he knows he can't immediately go into it because these people are spiritually immature. And by the way, if you study the book of Hebrews, and if not, we'll do that sometime, then you will know that the inspired writer is writing to Jewish Christians who had been Christians for a number of years. They were not youngsters. They were not young in the faith. They've been Christians for a number of years, but they had not grown as they should have grown. And thus, he has to stop here. He wants to talk to them about Christ, the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, but he has to stop and tell them, you know I can't yet go into that because you're not able to receive that yet. You haven't grown enough. You've remained spiritual babes. In fact, he even indicates in the places they had gone backward spiritually. And that's what will happen if we don't grow. We're going to go one way or the other. Either we're going to go forward or backward. Don't we just stay in one place spiritually? And so they had actually gone backward. He says, we have much to say and hard to explain. It wasn't that he couldn't explain it. In fact, when he gets to the seventh chapter, he does explain it. But why was it that he couldn't explain it? Because you have become dull of hearing. Your minds have become lazy. You just don't want to hear about that. You don't want to hear anything that is deep and difficult to understand in the Word of God. And we need to eventually get to those things that are deep and difficult to understand because they help us to become stronger as Christians so that we might be able to grow ourselves and also to help others. So some people are unable to receive difficult truths. And you might think about this from application to ourselves. Other than the book of Hebrews, sometimes I talk from the pulpit about, for example, the organization of the church and the work of the church and the worship of the church as it applies to issues that are live among brethren today. And if you think, well, that's just over my head, that's just too dull, I don't want to hear about that, then you've got a problem. Those are very important issues that we need to know about so we can remain faithful as a congregation of God's people. And if we don't want to hear those things or if we're unable to understand those things, now I have the obligation to make it simple and easy to understand. That's my obligation. But if the things are just above our heads, we just can't follow, then we become dull of hearing. And we need to grow in our ability to comprehend the deeper truths of the Word of God. And another thing, and this is something we all need to look at ourselves with, that person who's become dull of hearing is unable to teach others even the very basic principles of the Word of God. Look at what he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be people able to sit down with an unbeliever and show that unbeliever why he ought to believe in Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to show that unbeliever why he ought to obey Jesus Christ. And you ought to be able to show him one true church, the step to salvation, all those why we don't have instrumental music in worship, just basic things that you ought to be able to teach to those who are not Christians, and yet you've never become where you're able to do those things. So though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. We need to hear ourselves again sometimes. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, one true church, no instrumental music and worship, and on the very basic principles of the Word of God that we ought to know and be able to impart to others. It's our obligation, not just my obligation, not just Joe and me, but it's the obligation of every Christian to become defenders of the faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know what that means? The word sanctify means to set apart. What Peter's saying, you set up God as Lord of your heart. Now if you'll do that, and if I'll do that, then we've made a giant step in becoming what God wants to be. That I'm not going to do things the way I want to do them. But God is going to be the Lord of my heart. He's going to rule my heart. Set God apart as ruler of your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And always, now if I do that, what will be the result? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. Now that word meekness would include, it's not limited to gentleness, but it includes gentleness. And fear, that is, with godly reverence. If somebody asks you, why do you attend that little congregation down there on Highway 5 South? Can you give them a reason for doing that? And by the way, listen to me carefully, please. Saying, well, that's the most loving group of people I was ever around. Oh, that's wonderful. That's a John chapter 13. That's characteristic of that should be, but that's not enough. That's not, in fact, that even come close to being enough. There are other groups of people that don't follow the truth of God's word that are loving groups of people. Love is very important. Love of one another is very important, but it's got to go beyond that. Can you tell people why you're a member of this congregation? Can you tell people why they need to be baptized in order to be saved? Can you tell people why they need to believe in Jesus Christ? Have we moved beyond being just babes in Christ? Do we need to grow up and stop being spiritual milk babies? Well, now I hope that we're all taking this to heart. I'm not making any accusations, Stan. Just asking us some questions we need to think about. Well, that spiritual milk baby is unable to distinguish between good and evil. That's such an important thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. Right now, Drew can only take milk. Well, he has some food that's fed in a spoon. But we want that time to come when he's able to chomp his teeth into a piece of steak and really enjoy it. He can't do that now. But we want him to get where he's able to do that. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have... Now, here's the definition of ones of full age. Here's the definition of a mature Christian. One who is able to discern, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I believe the English Standard Version renders that to distinguish between good and evil. And that's exactly what it means. We need to mature to the point that you don't have to come running to Keith or to Joe and say, is this right or is this wrong? But I can sit down with God's Word and there's a question that's difficult to explain. And I can not only understand myself what's right and what's wrong about that, but I can show others why this is right and why that's wrong. And when we get to that point, and by the way, that's something we'll continue doing all of our lives, is studying. I've been preaching for 49 years now, and I still do it. I still have to go back and restudy and figure out, well, am I right on this? Am I wrong on this? And what about this question? We'll always continue doing that, but we need to get to the point where at least the basic questions concerning right and wrong, we ought to be able to show people why this is right, why that's wrong, to be able to discern the distinction between good and evil. That's one of the marks of a mature Christian who is able to chew the meat, not just take the milk of the Word. And he's unable to detect. That is, that babe in Christ, he hasn't grown up as he should. He is unable to detect false teaching. In Ephesians chapter 4, the whole context, verses 11 through 16, he is showing the gift that Christ gave, that whereby the church is to be mature and whereby the church is to be a one, whereby we'd have unity. And he says a purpose of it, and this is just part of a sentence, and I apologize for just breaking in a part of a sentence, but guess what I want to get from it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There used to be, now I'm going to get real close to home now, there used to be a man in this congregation, congregation withdrew from him. That man taught premillennialism. That is, he taught that Christ is going to return to this earth and set up an earthly kingdom and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That man believed that the Old Testament Sabbath was still binding. He believed the Old Testament dietary laws were still binding. And that man was teaching, though, and we had at least one woman in the church had to withdraw from her several years ago, who swallowed that, went along with him on that. Would you be able to show him that he was wrong? Would you have been able to teach him? Now, wait a minute. There's not going to be a future millennial kingdom on this earth. Christ already rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Could you be able to show him that? Would you be able to show him that the Old Testament law has been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and we're not under that Old Testament law anymore, and that those Old Testament dietary laws no longer apply, that Christians can eat any kind of food that they want to eat? Would you be able to show him those things? Or would you be one of those who's carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting? And that's exactly what was going on with that man. That's a very important question. We need to be able to answer those questions. Okay. And I'm going to make this the last point, and we'll draw the lesson to a close. We'll continue more next week. That kind of person remains a spiritual milkmaid, does not appreciate plain Bible teaching. That's the kind of person that wants to have everything positive. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not in favor of somebody who was, as how my dad used to say, that born in the objective case and the kicking of mood and weaned on a sour pickle. I'm not in favor of that. The Word of God finally ends up very, very positive. It's the way to heaven. But there's some negative things on the way. We have to learn what's wrong and what's right and how to distinguish between the two. And we have to learn to turn away from the wrong and turn to the right. If we have things that are sinful in our lives, we have to have those things pointed out to us. And we need both teaching in the Bible class and preaching from the pulpit of things, pointing out things that are sinful and wrong and that may hit us squarely. In fact, that's what does the most good is when it hits us squarely. So we know we have to repent of those things. And we need people who are willing to talk about those things, not afraid to say those things, and to be negative when that is to point out sins when needed. We need that. But some people just can't stand that. They want everything positive and everything enjoyable and a joke. Paul talked about that when he's passing the torch on Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is Paul's farewell to Timothy. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables." Now, fables are just fairy tales, made up things, things that are not true. Now, listen carefully. Before any false teacher can turn you to fables, you have to turn your own ears away from the truth. You see that order of things? They turn their own ears away from the truth, and then the false teachers turn them to fables. As long as you're willing and determined to know the truth, no false teacher over the long term is going to turn you to a fable. You will study the Word of God. You'll do just as the Bereans did. You'll search your Scriptures daily whether the things are so. And you'll come to the conclusion eventually. It may take some time to study, but eventually you'll find what's right and what's wrong. And by the way, I want you to know, in case I haven't said this recently, that you need to do that about my preaching as well as anybody else's preaching. Now listen carefully, please, and then I'm going to draw the lesson to a close. Never accept anything that I say just because I say it. If I cannot put my finger on the verse that proves it, reject it. We must be those who demand book, chapter, and verse. Some people don't like that kind of preaching. They remain perpetual milk babes. They never grow up spiritually. And they're not able to handle the meat of the Word, and they're not able to stand for the truth. Well, that's all the time that we have this morning. I want to say more about that, and I will in a future lesson, Lord willing. But the song of invitation and encouragement is number 263.